Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com. It's Gary Parrish. It's Monday, March 14, 2022. Welcome back to the CBS Sports IO College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, and leaky black mat. Norlander is here with me. Chip Patterson is also here with me. Happy Monday after Selection Sunday. As I told you on Sunday night's podcast, it drifted after midnight. We are doing four short previews of each region in the 2022 NCAA tournament. This is one of them. We're previewing the East, where Baylor is the number one seed, Kentucky, number two seed, Purdue is the number three seed, and UCLA is the number four seed. Chip, I'll start with you. Is there a first-round game in the East Regional that you cannot wait to put your eyes on?
Are you kidding me with Murray State and San Francisco? Because you already want to advance to a Murray State Kentucky, right? You already want to sort of put that in place as your second round matchup. I don't think that the Dons are going to make that particularly easy. And so I've got that one identified, where more than likely the winner of Murray State San Francisco will be losing in the second round to Kentucky. But the idea of who is going to be able to escape and have that opportunity where you're going to come out of that game feeling like you've really accomplished something. You know, by the time you get to Saturday and Sunday at the NCAA tournament in the first round, there are sometimes you kind of feel like you escaped, you stole a win, you played poorly, but still figured out a way to get it done. Whoever wins Murray State San Francisco, that is a NCAA tournament victory that will be earned. And that's why it's probably one of my favorite ones in the first round.
Dead leg, you?
Definitely Murray State San Francisco. We've talked about it on HQ. We talked about it on the podcast. That's the one I'm looking forward to. By the way, Chip Patterson, Cover 3's own worked. We are so busy. I wanted to get the Costanza Worlds Are Colliding drop in here. I couldn't even get that done in time there. It's wonderful to have you on, Chip. He's going to give us some picks against the spread and all that good stuff as well. Because frankly, for as good as I've been in Final Four and One, GP's been phenomenal in his Final Four and One picks all season long. Yep. Cobb's been good. Chip Patterson is the gold standard. Parrish, are you familiar with the idea of a unity lock?
Yes, I am. That's when everybody's on the same page. I know what a unity lock
is. Okay, here we go. Murray State, San Francisco.
Don't test me. And by the way, I'm not pretending to be an airplane here. If you're watching on YouTube, hey, YouTube. This is another sign of aging. Just pulled a muscle in my side trying to collect the bracket. I'm in pain right now. I'm hurt. You think Kirk Creasa's struggling? Nothing compared to what I'm dealing with right now.
I did wonder, if you're listening, we're not going to harp on the visuals because most people listen to the podcast as opposed to watch it, but I did wonder what this was all about as I'm trying to lay out Chip being on the pod. I didn't know. I figured you had just hit a fever dream state. And I'm just rolling with it. So GP, all good.
Murray, I would have believed it. Like, this is that time of year where, based on the amount of sleep, the information that you've consumed, and the T-shirt cannon of content that you are asked to be across multiple platforms, maybe you are just kind of soaring. Maybe this is a good vibe for you.
What if I did think I was an airplane? We've reached the point where I think I'm an airplane. This is the time of the year where you start to get delirious because it's constant travel, constant work, very little sleep. Real quick on being delirious still. Several years ago, I was in Charlotte for a Sweet 16 or something like that, and got into an elevator, and there were like three people in the elevator, and they had on Carolina Panthers gear on. You guys from Carolina? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, so what brought you here? And they're like, what? I was like, so what brought you to Carolina? I said, what brought you here? And they were like, what? And I was like, and it clicked in me. I was like, we're in Charlotte. That's why they're here. Yeah. I'm actually in Charlotte. I had no idea where I was.
At the Westin, and Bank of America Stadium is right around the corner right now.
Yeah. I was like curious, ooh, why are you Panthers fans here? It's like, we're here to watch a football game. What are you talking about? The whole thing's outrageous.
I like Murray State, San Francisco. We're going to try our damnedest to make these breezy for you, region by region breakdowns here. Murray State at San Francisco is the best watch of the first round as far as I'm concerned. But there's plenty to be intrigued by here. I think we're not going to get 4-1 seats to the Final Four. Baylor seems a bit vulnerable. It's obviously banged up. Kentucky is a fantastic team. Can it get past a Murray State if it faces them in the second round? There's a lot to really like about this region. UCLA made the Final Four last year. Could be the best four. Then again, when you look around the bracket, there's a lot of really good four seeds this season. Carolina over Baylor is one that I think people might be looking at as a potential if you're going to look for one to go down early. I don't know if I totally buy that, but GP, Drew, your direct question of all of the first round games in this, Murray State, San Francisco is the best watch, and then I would put Texas, Virginia Tech right behind it. Va Tech goes into this tournament on fire. I think it's a good matchup for the Hokies against a Longhorns team that was a preseason top five in the eyes of plenty. It's obviously fallen short of that. Still a good team, veteran team, capable of winning that game. Frankly, might be capable of being a six seed that makes it in the Sweet 16. So the bottom half of this East region are my top two, Texas, Virginia Tech, and then Murray State, San Fran.
Deadleg, you'll remember, it wasn't too long ago where we were openly discussing the possibility that Virginia Tech, were computer trickers. And now look, they look like computer trickers all season long. And now they're ACC tournament champions. Yeah, I think everybody's on board. Murray State, San Francisco is awesome. You're looking for a next best game, Texas, Virginia Tech. And there are some computer simulations. Norlander and I were on CBS Sports HQ earlier today that had Virginia Tech not only winning that game, but also winning its next game over Purdue. So we'll get to that next. Is there an unlikely Sweet 16 team here? But before we go any further, real quick, let me remind you about our bracket challenge game. We want you to compete with us, so please do. I'm going to be in there. Norlander will be in there. Kyle Boone, David Cobb, I hope to God Chip Patterson's in there. You can join us at cbssports.com/CBSEyeOnBrackets. Winner going to get a $100 gift card to Paramount Plus, which is terrific because you can watch NCAA tournament games on Paramount Plus. Tons of soccer, Champions League, golf majors in the NFL football. It's all available on Paramount Plus. Beyond that, Halo going to be streaming March 24th exclusively on Paramount Plus. You can head to ParamountPlus.com/Halo to try it for free. And when you enter our bracket challenge game, like I told you Sunday night, don't stop there. You can also create a group to compete against friends, compete against enemies. I personally think it's more fun to compete against enemies than friends. If you get, you know, if you're comfortable enough to text your enemies, like Pete Davidson and Kanye West, they text each other. They're enemies. If you're comfortable enough to text your enemies and get them into a bracket challenge game, do that. You can also compete for a chance to win a trip to the 2023 Final Four. It's all free. You can play on the CBS Sports app or at cbssports.com/CBSEyeOnBrackets.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Norlander. Virginia Tech, I just told you in some computer simulations, is a Sweet 16 team, even though it's an 11 seed. If you were trying to identify an unlikely Sweet 16 team, would you start there or go somewhere else?
Unlikely Sweet 16 team. Okay, let's establish this right now. GP first and Chip. Do you think identifying a Virginia Tech team that's coming in the way it is, would you say it's unlikely because of its seed, or maybe that gets tossed out the window, Parrish, because of how well it's been ranked in the metrics most of the season?
I think any double-digit seed is an unlikely Sweet 16 team, like by definition.
Okay, I think that's fair. My answer, Chip, I'm actually going to go San Francisco because it has been a top 35 KenPom team the entire season. It's a 10 seed. It gets a 30-2 Murray State team, and then it would play Kentucky. That would be a super interesting backcourt matchup. I think an unlikely but potential Sweet 16 team from the double-digit seed that's really spicy, I would go with the Dons here.
I have heard you pick Murray State to beat Kentucky in the round of 32 and beat San Francisco to beat Murray State in the round of 64.
Hold on, all
within the past 2 hours.
That's 100% correct. That's 100% correct. I'm not picking San Francisco to do that on this podcast. I'm just saying a conceivably doable double-digit seed that's not like Virginia Tech to me is more obvious. San Francisco is less obvious. So I'm saying they're the less obvious pick that could still do it. That's all.
I got North Carolina. It's not double digit to fully fit the criteria, but I think that North Carolina being an unlikely Sweet 16 team fits the bill because it means you've taken down Baylor. And why would that happen? Because I think that playing Armando Bacot, and really this is a problem for Baylor with the whole region to me, because you're talking about Oscar Tshiebwe, you're talking about Zach Edey, not having Jonathan Chamochachua, your best interior defender and your best rebounder. Like the big men in the Big 12 are very good. You know, David McCormick, when he's on, seriously would categorize as being a top level elite big man. But I just think that as Baylor had to adjust over the last, 10, 12 games, they didn't play someone like Armando Bacot. And that's why I think it's hilarious, because North Carolina could lose to Marquette. Like, this is the opposite end stylistically. North Carolina Marquette has an over under of like 152. The Virginia Tech Texas over-under is 125 and falling rapidly. Everyone's thinking rock fight and everyone's thinking track meet. North Carolina could lose to Shaka Smart's Marquette Golden Eagles, but if North Carolina wins that game, I like North Carolina's matchup against Baylor if they're going to be able to take care of things inside. I think that Virginia Tech, while they just beat Armando Bacot and Paolo Banchero and Mark Williams and all of these great bigs, I think that Purdue's a really tough matchup for Virginia Tech. If they are on from behind the arc, clearly that isn't an entirely different beast. But that's the reason why I'm on Virginia Tech to beat Texas, but I will not take them to the Sweet 16 just because of my respect for Purdue.
Chip, love that you're here, but I don't want you to overstep your boundaries. And I'm the only person allowed to say Jonathan Chamochachua on this podcast.
You put in so much work to get it. Now that you have 100% exclusive rights.
I have exclusive rights to Jonathan Chamochachua's name. Yeah. You can say Flo Thamba if you want. Okay. But Jonathan Chamochachua is mine. No, you make great points about North Carolina, Bacot, top shelf big. If they were to get there, Baylor's missing one of its bigs, a rotation player, not only on this team, but on the team that won the national title. And this is why, and we talked about this on Sunday night's podcast, I could have made a case. Like, if you said, make a case for Baylor not to be a number one seed, even though Baylor's got a top four resume, I would have started with, they're probably going to be without their leading scorer. I don't know if LJ Cryer is the best player, but he is their leading scorer. And suddenly you're North Carolina, preseason top 25 team that won at Duke not too long ago, and you're in a second-round game against a Baylor team missing Jonathan Chamochachua and their leading scorer, LJ Cryer. Like, I will pick Baylor to get to the Sweet 16, but there's nothing crazy about North Carolina, maybe, if they get there, upsetting the reigning national champion. Virginia Tech, Texas, Virginia Tech going to the Sweet 16, I'm not picking it, but I could see it. As we talked a million times, Purdue is still ranks 100th in adjusted defensive efficiency. They're not great defensively. That's 100, the adjusted defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. What's Storm Murphy going to do to that? That's not a rhetorical question. What's Storm Murphy going to do to that?
He's going to bring thunder and lightning and wind and hail and rain down on the Boilermakers.
He's got Norlander spent all morning on HQ talking about Jaden Ivey. Didn't say a word about what Storm Murphy might do.
I did not. That Texas Virginia Tech game. I've submitted a bracket. I hold the authority to change any of these picks by Thursday. So a reminder, if you're listening to this particular episode, of course you're listening to it because you're literally hearing me say it right now. Listen to this episode and not hear me say this. We will have a Wednesday episode. So we're talking games. We're talking picks here. I want to get some of Chip's thoughts on like his favorite lines and stuff from the first round before we get out. But our Wednesday episode, I think, is where GP and I are going to like actually – here are all our picks for every single game. I can't decide on Texas Virginia Tech right now. I am going to have Purdue coming out of that pod in Milwaukee, though. I think the Boilermakers are going to show up and show out, and they are going to win both of those games. No matter the second-round opponent, I'll have Purdue winning by double digits and getting into the regional semifinals.
Yeah, Virginia Tech obviously enters this, having won the ACC tournament, got a little bit of momentum, perhaps a lot of momentum. Texas has lost three straight games going into this NCAA tournament. We had Chris Beard on CBS Sports Network Sunday night, and I asked him, like, you know, is that a thing? Momentum entering the NCAA tournament. And he said, certainly could be. You know, when he took Texas Tech to the national title game in 2019, I think his Red Raiders were something like 9-1 in their previous 10 games heading into the NCAA tournament. And then, you know, that if momentum is a thing, 9-1 in your previous 10 suggests that you got it. And Virginia Tech right now has it. Texas doesn't. And oh, by the way, like we just like never talked about this because it didn't seem to like whatever. Like what if Texas's, you know, key player just quit the team, you know, yeah. You know, like, you know, middle of season.
Trey Mitchell. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like we spent a lot of everybody spent a lot of time talking about Amani Bates not being at Memphis. Like Trey Mitchell more or less did the same thing. So I think I like Virginia Tech in that game, but you know, Chris Beard is a 9-3 in NCAA tournament games, has shown himself to be a high level tournament coach in his still relatively young Division I head coaching career. So I you know, nothing that would happen in that game would qualify as shocking. Value bet to win the region. Do you have one? And I think let's define what a value bet is. Somebody that's not one of the top two seeds.
UCLA.
That's right.
Yeah, you got it. If Johnny Juzang can be fully healthy for an NCAA tournament run, I don't think he even needs to average 22.8 points per game through the tournament like he did with the Bruins all the way to the Final Four. UCLA has gotten so much great play out of Jaime Jaquez coming down the stretch that I really like that team to be able to, especially if Baylor were to get bounced, I like UCLA to be able to make it to the Elite Eight. And if you're in the Elite Eight, then you've got a great chance. And if you're thinking about buying these tickets, you know, I don't know how much the listeners really go, how sicko mode you want to get, how degen you want to get right here. But if you're holding a UCLA ticket, especially at the cost you're going to get right now, then even just getting to the Elite Eight will give you hedge opportunities. So you've got a no-lose type situation. So if you're walking into UCLA, Kentucky, but you're already sitting on that UCLA to win the region at a plus number that's pretty big, then you can make your single game Elite Eight play accordingly. And between Baylor and UCLA doesn't have that same big man advantage necessarily, especially compared to North Carolina. But if Baylor were to get slipped up, or even if UCLA plays Baylor, I think that UCLA would be able to win that game. And so I like Mick Cronin's Bruins as a value play from the four line.
Feels like UCLA is the play here because Purdue doesn't, you know, I know GP said anyone not one or two. Purdue almost feels like it should be involved in that conversation regardless because I just don't think it'll have good value. Purdue making the Final Four, certainly a possibility, but there will be plenty of people that fade the Boilermakers as well. So maybe you can get, I don't know, decent value, but St. Mary's on the five line, not seeing it. Spoiler alert, I've got Wyoming beating St. Mary's in that 12-5. If indeed Wyoming can get past Indiana, I just happen to like that matchup a ton for Jeff Linder's Cowboys there. That'll probably be a race to 52 points, to be honest with you. But yeah, I'd say UCLA matches and then maybe Texas, but you just got to trust Texas can somehow put it all together. And I don't think Texas has won four straight games since December. It might even be November. Have they done it, period? I might be way off on this. I'm bringing up their resume right now, GP. They have not won four in a row since January 4th. So I'm not going to trust them to do that here. UCLA is the wonderful play. And then if you really want to take a flyer, Chip mentioned North Carolina before. I think so many people, this is a classic where I'm just going to fade the public. So many people are going to take North Carolina to beat Marquette. I'm just taking Marquette. There's not a lot of evidence recently to say Marquette should beat North Carolina, but so many people are going to go with UNC this game. I'm just going to F it. No, just take Marquette in that one.
The reason why I would not take, for this particular question, to get out of the region, North Carolina only plays five players. You're going to go through like that entire like NCAA tournament run with five players. And listen, all around here, everybody's getting their chuckles in. You know, they're getting their chuckles in. They all traded in their Carolina blue Argyle sweater vests for camo hunting jackets on Saturday night so they could all root for Virginia Tech. And I don't think that this Iron Five, which had an incredible rivalry performance in the second half against Cameron, you can't ride that group to four straight wins at the NCAA tournament, which is kind of why if I'm going to do a North Carolina upset play, it's just the one-off against Baylor, and then you might run out of steam by the second weekend.
We will get some of Chip's favorite first-round picks in the East Regional. We're going to do that next. But before we do that, let me make sure you understand what our friends at Sportsline are up to during bracket week. You can get every pick, every play, every upset, and fill out your bracket with the help of some of the best sports data analysts in the game. Visit Sportsline now to see which teams will make or break your bracket and see who cuts down the nets, all from the model that beat nearly 90% of brackets last tournament, 1 year after finishing in the top 5%. All right, East Regional. What are your favorite plays in the first round? Chip.
Targeting some of our double-digit dogs. St. Peter's to cover the number against Kentucky. Why would I stand in the way of a Kentucky team that I think is going to win the region? It actually has more to do with St. Peter's, which covered the spread 69% of the time.
Nice.
This season in the MAC, they were able to consistently exceed expectations. And I do think that for Kentucky's first game, that's going to be one. Similarly, I'm going to be looking to jump on the other side of Purdue plus minus the big number and get Yale plus the points. Purdue only covered the spread 39.3% of the time. That was a group that it was much harder than it needed to be way too often. Likely a big part of that being, as y'all have discussed a lot on this show, their deep inability to get stops in close games. And then finally, one more for you. Just I cannot say it enough, but like, the style transformation that I've seen from Hunter Couture, as he was just a nice, clean-cut boy from Orlando heading to Wofford, and now we see him at Virginia Tech all grizzly and just looking like he's really gotten lost in Southwest Virginia in a good way. I think Virginia Tech beats Texas. It's one of my favorite first-round plays in the East.
Let me ask you this. Okay. I was just going to ask Chip. Go ahead. Go ahead, GP. My question can wait.
Now, my question probably doesn't even need to be asked. I was just curious, as Chip was talking about it. Do you think Wofford fans are rooting for Virginia Tech, or they hate Virginia Tech?
Hate. Yeah, I don't think that that's, or at least at a very minimum, not rooting. Hate actually is too strong. I do not think that. Wofford, the South Carolina genteel nature and the Wofford alums and graduates that I know are forgiving in a way that I do think that there is no hate that is harbored, but I don't think that they're just outright rooting for Mike Young and especially the other pieces of that program that are now there.
If Virginia Tech were to make the Sweet 16, Kentucky would as well. Mike Young, the last time he faced John Calipari was when he was at Wofford. It got him the Virginia Tech job. They almost knocked Kentucky, which I believe was a 2-seed, out of the field. It was a wonderful game, and I want to say that was 2019. Fletcher McGee, indeed. My question for you, Chip, is this. When you look at all of the first round lines in this region, which one to you smells the weirdest? Which one do you not like? Which one are you staying away from? Because obviously with all these games, people are going to want to have some action on it, let alone forget the bracket. If they're just trying to bet on this, which one to you feels like the funkiest that maybe that you're moving away from and you think might be a little tricky?
For all this time that we've spent talking about this team, I would not lay more than a possession with North Carolina. Untrustworthy to be able to cover big. Like, win close, could win by 12, but generally untrustworthy in terms of that particular matchup, especially as I mentioned earlier, when you've got a point total of 151, you're expecting it to be back and forth, big swings in the game. North Carolina on the season is part of the perfect coin flip club, 50% against the spread. No plus or minus value either way.
One thing on North Carolina real quick, and then we'll move on, because Chip accurately noted they don't have much depth. You know, famously against Duke in the second half, they didn't sub. Norlander, fact check me on this, But yeah. Could this be a factor? The timeouts in the NCAA tournament are longer, the television timeouts. So, mm-hmm. like, you have more time to catch your breath. Get a blow, as they say. What does that even mean? Where did that come from when people say, go get a blow?
We might not need to go too deep into the back story of that. I feel like tight podcast. Let's not even explore the possibilities for that phrase.
A lot of people don't realize this. The Brandon Davies started with somebody.
All right.
I'm just saying, people don't talk about that enough. Somebody said, hey, you look tired. Go get a blow. Next thing you know, he's kicked out of school.
It's a shame.
It is a shame. There's more of us than there are of them.
So.
All right. Let's get to it. Yeah. Who wins the East Regional? Chip, who do you got advanced into the Final Four from the East?
The Kentucky Wildcats. I think that in the loss of Ty Washington and Xavier Wheeler for differing amounts of time, sometimes even within the same game, they had to learn how to come up with new plays, new moves. And what I mean by that is, like, how are we going to play winning basketball without these players that are normally starters and very important parts of our offense, very important parts of our defense? And when they came out on the other side, you just look around and I love the tools. I love the pieces. When you get all the way down to, you know, Keon Brooks and Davion Mintz, like, they've had to step up at times this season and they've been able to answer the call. So, you know, Kellen Grady, Jacob Toppin, and obviously all of it around our National Player of the Year front runner, Oscar Tshiebwe. I like Kentucky.
Well, in the great words of Dido, I will go down with this ship.
Purdue.
And I won't put my hands up and surrender. There will be no white flag above my door. Because I'm in love with Purdue. And I will be for about 2 more weeks. I think that's how that song went. I'm going to go with Purdue in this spot because they were my pick in the preseason to win the national championship. I think it's actually kind of a decent contrarian play here. Now, I have Purdue in this spot because as we record this on Monday, the 2 o'clock show might be different from the 10 o'clock show. I don't know if I'll still have Murray State over Kentucky by the time we get to Thursday, but I've got Murray State over Kentucky right now. Okay. So I have Purdue facing Murray State in the regional semifinals in Philly. Because of that, I've got Purdue pushing along and I've got Purdue moving past Baylor. I will take the Boilermakers, which I believe means, my man, JP, I think we have 3 different picks to come out of this part of the bracket.
We do. And I think any of the teams, we, by the way, none of us are picking the 1 seed.
I know. The disrespect right now to Huck.
It is very disrespectful.
Look at the disrespect right now. You don't even have a Baylor name for the end of the show either.
I didn't have time to
go. Don't let this podcast find its way to the Drew household. Do not, under any circumstances.
I mean, I could have got one while you guys were talking, and I was. Nah. But then
we're not picking Baylor, and we're not naming a Baylor player. It's done.
Double disrespect.
Regional previews are not going to have Baylor shout outs. I'm sorry. It's disrespectful. I understand. I apologize to McKenzie and Peyton and Brody and Huck, and of course, Kelly. Not to mention Homer. I'm not going to do the whole thing.
All right, so who do you have, GP?
UCLA. UCLA. Fight, fight, fight. You ever been in Pauley Pavilion and seen that?
I don't care.
UCLA. They got all these guys who've already made a run through this bracket once. They've got Johnny Juzang, Jaime Jaquez, Tiger Campbell. They got Mick Cronin, best coach in UCLA history, and they're 8th at KenPom. Truth is, they're probably a little underseeded here. And so if we are looking for a place to take a lower seed in this bracket to actually make the Final Four, I think this is a good place to do it. I love Baylor in all seriousness, and what Scott has done is incredible. Like, you know, when we vote for National Coach of the Year, we'll look up and see where we're at then. Might be Tommy Lloyd, but it could be Scott Drew. I mean, lost 4 starters from a title team, came back, stayed at the tip-top of the sport all season, won a Big 12 title, even though he lost Jonathan Chamwa Chachawa, and LJ Cryer hasn't played but one time since the middle of February, and you're still a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament? That is wild, wild, wildly impressive. But given their limitations, I don't think they're the best team in this region right now. I'd be surprised if they get out of it. I'll take somebody else. I'll go with UCLA.
I think this is the best region for the top four teams. I was looking at it, and all the top four seeds have spent at least some amount of time within the top four of the AP Top 25 this year, with, of course, Purdue being number one and Baylor being number one. Purdue for a hot second, but both of them reaching number one. At different points in the season, we've looked at all four of these teams, again, in a four-region tournament, as being among the four best in the entire country.
All right, so you got it. I am going with UCLA, Deadleg, Purdue, Chip Patterson with the Kentucky Wildcats. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Larnell. Thank you guys for listening once again to the Iron College Basketball Podcast, middle of the dumbest pandemic of my lifetime. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe. Anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, both places, we need 5 stars. At Apple, we need a nice review. You can type words. You can type nice words. There's more of us than there are of them. The comments need to reflect that. If you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel yet, please knock that out. We will talk to you again real soon. Till then, take care.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.